In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
Hey guys, before we begin today's episode, I figured I would start out with what I normally began each No Borders, No Race episode with, and that is our Nihongo Yoyaku. We had actually recorded this episode fully before I could get the translation from English to Japanese. So right now, for your listening pleasure and for the benefit of bettering my speaking skills in Japanese, I bring to you this week's Nihongo Yoyaku. Sa, hajimeru yo! Tani Arcade Expo 2020 年は2月末に開催され、多くの素晴らしいビデオゲームが大会で紹介されました。Final Fantasy VII Remake や Destroy All Humans などのメインストリームタイトルから The Red Lantern や Ambition 剣6のメニューエットなどのインディーゲームに至るまで出席者がデモしたビデオゲームは圧倒的に魅力的でした。しかし、私は3つのゲームにとっても驚きました。マルチプレイヤー側では、フォールガイズがゲーム世界に日本のゲームショーの奇抜さをもたらしました。メインストリーム側では、マン・イトはプレイヤーにグランド・セフト・アトのような設定で必殺サメになるチャンスを与えたのでは。最後に、インディシーノは The Artful Escape という形で豪華な音楽ベストのタイトルを配信しました。私がプレイしたものは全て素晴らしいものでしたが、これらの3つのタイトルをぜひお勧めします。Many thanks once again to my teacher, Mikiro Hattori-sensei, for helping with this translation. Remember, if you would like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, please be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. They are a great organization that helps to bridge both the Japanese and American side of things. Okay. With all of that now out of the way, let us start this week's episode of No Borders, No Race.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Egg proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Bastards and Wenches, welcome to episode 242 of No Borders, No Race, your J-pop and alternative hotspot. I am your King Baby Doc Gavin Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And folks, today we have a very special guest joining us. A voice you probably haven't heard in a really, really long time here on the Boston Bastard Brigade. You might remember her as Bruins fangirl Nenya, but now she is the con chairwoman of Anime Boston. I'm happy to welcome back, after a very long absence, Mrs. Kristen Letting. Welcome back to Boston Bash Brigade. How are you today?
Aaron, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So I was doing a little bit of research, and I was trying to find out when was the last time you were on our show. And I had to go all the way back to February 1st, 2011.
Gosh.
Episode 82 of the original Boston Bass Brigade show.
Oh my gosh, that feels like forever. It is forever.
It is forever. It's been over 9 years since you've been on here. Here's the thing. I've known you since college, and you have gone from being a mere volunteer at Anime Boston to running the whole thing. So what goes through your mind when you think about something like that?
Oh, I don't know. it's one of those things where Anime Boston has been such a huge part of my life for so long. I just wouldn't be able to imagine my life without it. So it's just kind of like one of those things where I got into it and I just kind of kept getting deeper and deeper, and here I am.
The ruler of it all.
Not quite. I mean, I'm not alone. I have a great team. I know that I'm sort of supposed to be kind of the one ultimately driving the bus, but there's 11 of us on the leadership team for the convention, so I'm definitely not alone, and I definitely don't do it all.
You know, a big con like this does need a big team, and I'm glad that you have such a good support behind you to help get things running. Mm-hmm. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the situation that happened regarding with, you know, Anime Boston 2020. Some unfortunate sad things, but hopefully some anticipated things. And on today's episode, too, for a little bit of fun, we're also going to share with you some anime picks that are great for this, shall we call it, hunkering down period?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This hunkering down period.
Hunkering down, the hibernation.
Yes, hunkering down hibernation. And today's playlist has a bit of a theme to it. Well, a couple of themes. So the main one is positive songs for negative times, because it's kind of a shit show out there right now, and we need to listen to some really good positive music to maybe get through some of this shitty times. And some of the bands that we're also going to be playing also have a connection to either Anime Boston, or a couple of songs are even related to some of Nenya, or yeah, I'm gonna call you Nenya for this, for Nenya's favorite bands, and bands that we've actually seen together live too.
Yeah, oh, I'm very excited.
Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. And no other band, I feel, gets your blood pumping and raring for action like the band Electric Eel Shock. So we're going to start the show off with their opening track to their excellent 2007 record, Trans World Ultra Rock. This is I Can't Hear You.
We'll be right back.
From their 2001 album Spike, that was Puffy AmiYumi with Love So Pure. And as you may recall, and I'm sure Kristen does too, Puffy AmiYumi were the musical guests of honor at Anime Boston 2017. That was a great show. Did you happen to get a sneak peek of that while you were working behind the scenes?
I didn't get in there for any sort of sneak peek, but I did pop in for a couple songs, and it was a lot of fun. It was a good concert.
It was a great concert all in all. So let's dive into our interview, and we're going to talk about what happened regarding, you know, Anime Boston 2020. We know what happened, but we want to give people a better understanding of why it had to happen. So my first question for you is, how early was Anime Boston prepping for a possible postponement or a cancellation?
I wish I could say we were planning very early, but everything sort of happened so fast. It was probably like about late February where we started to get a sense that event cancellations was a very real possibility. And we, as a leadership team, we meet regularly, usually just about every other week. And when we get closer to the convention, weekly. And so we had already started discussing it as part of our regular meetings. It started as like a side topic where we would have discussions off during the week through kind of like a digital message board. But then very quickly it started to dominate our meetings. And so when things finally did happen, we were pretty aligned on what we wanted to do and what our decisions would be, because we had already sort of discussed all of the different scenarios and what we felt would be best for us.
Were you guys watching closely what was happening with PAX East? And did you think that maybe since that went off without a hitch, that maybe there was a bit of optimism that it could still go on?
Yeah, absolutely. PAX was, I think, when we really started paying close attention. A few of us in the leadership group work for the trade show industry full time, so we had sort of already seen some trade shows, like actual medical, technical, those sort types of conventions. We had already seen postponements and cancellations happening. So when PAX happened, that was the first large convention that was happening close to home and closest to our time. So we have a lot of staff overlap between us and PAX. We had a lot of people who were either working booths at PAX or were volunteers for PAX. And so we were able to get a lot of kind of boots on the ground reports of what PAX was doing, what the BCEC was doing. And then at the same time, we had reached out to the MCCA, to find out what changes they were making, what procedures. And we were in contact with them before PAX and after PAX. And everything they had told us at the time was that they had added new measures. All of that went well. We were hearing the same thing from the people who were at the show. So we were feeling pretty optimistic at that time anyway. But then, yeah, as you know, things quickly changed.
Right. So when did you think that the writing on the wall was there? Like, when did you realize that this probably shouldn't be happening?
For me personally, it was, we were feeling very strong about things up until the governor's announcement for state of emergency. And even after that, we sort of took a moment to kind of really take in what state of emergency means, and understanding that it's more related to government funding than anything. But I think that announcement was either on a Monday or a Tuesday. And then that following Wednesday was when the NBA decided to cancel their season. And that was when things got real. I think, all of a sudden, lots of large stuff kept happening. The NHL postponed their season, and I think the public perception started to shift at that point as well. We, up to that point, we were getting a lot of attendee messages saying, hey, you know, we just want to make sure, are you canceling? We hope you're not. We're really looking forward to it. When the NBA canceled, it turned into, are you canceling? Why aren't you canceling? You really should be canceling. This is kind of not good for you to be running a large event. This isn't safe.
So it was like a flip of the coin of a change of opinion.
Overnight. It was crazy. The attendee response we started getting that Thursday morning through social media was just off the charts. Our social media team was flooded. I actually prepared a statement explaining why we hadn't canceled yet, and we were ready to post that on Saturday. But by the time I, on Friday, I had traveled out to Boston to get prepared because we were having our own staff meeting that Saturday. And by the time I got picked up at the airport on Friday, the governor had announced his large events ban. And so my announcement got thrown out the window. And then we immediately had to get together as a group to start talking about what to do.
So some folks may have felt the news of the cancellation was a bit too late, but I want you to explain to those that feel that way why you had to take so long to make this decision.
And I guess just to one thing that when we were getting ready to tell our staff about everything that was going on, I did write out the timeline, and I kind of realized, like, oh wow, it's only been 4 days between the governor declaring state of emergency and the governor's large events ban. So two things that really drive everything for us is that Anime Boston, our staff, everyone, including myself, we're all volunteers. None of us get paid. We all do this in our free time. We all have families. We all have full-time paid jobs. And so we can't always react as quickly as if it was our full-time job.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and that being said, I feel pretty proud of the team and our ability to respond as quickly as we did. We actually had a Discord group going, and we have all been talking quite frequently throughout the situation. So everyone was there, like, just ready at a moment's notice to pitch in and say what they thought or offer some sort of direction. And that was so wonderful to see. The other part of it, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, is that when you have an event contract with a facility, it's pretty standard in the industry that there's cancellation policies. And most cancellation policies will state that if the event runners cancel the show, then they typically still have to owe most of the money that they would have paid out regardless, if not all of the money. Unless there's typically a clause in most contracts called force majeure, which is kind of like an act of God clause. I did air quotes there. So at that point, because the governor hadn't outright banned anything, if we had canceled, then we would have still been on the hook for all of the money that we owed to all of the facilities.
Yikes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, one part, while we did sort of grapple with trying to, you know, make sure that what we were doing was the safest thing that we could do for our staff and for attendees, we also at the same time had to consider what would be best for the long-term health of the organization. I don't think it's, you know, it's no secret that we're not hoarding money. Yeah. Most of everything we make goes into either putting on the show or doing stuff that will help us put on the show long term. So we really couldn't afford to take that kind of hit at that time.
So before, like, postponement, or like even before a cancellation occurred, were there any guests from either side of the Pacific who had concerns about what may happen with Anime Boston and what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really get into the specifics, but I mean, everyone was concerned across the board, especially, I mean, guests, vendors, artists, attendees. We were getting messages from everybody every day.
What has been your overall thought on this current situation that we're all in? Are we overreacting? Are we underreacting? Because there were days where it's crazy. Like, it's not putting me into a panic, but at the same time, it does put me into a great concern.
Yeah, I think you kind of see a mix of everything. I think that there are people who are definitely panicking and who are overreacting. And I think those are the people that you're seeing in the stores who were, like, buying things in bulk and fighting each other over toilet paper. And those things can be scary and overwhelming. But I do think that the recommendations, especially from the World Health Organization and the CDC, I think those are very important to listen to. And I think it's important just to remember that we all have to take care of ourselves and each other. And that includes kind of keeping a rational head about us and not panicking, and just making sure that you're doing what you can do to take care of yourself.
We're going to take a couple of short music breaks, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the preparations now for Anime Boston 2021. So up next is a band that, or rather an artist that both Chris and I have had the privilege of seeing together, Frank Turner. You and I saw him back in 2013 at the House of Blues. It was a beautiful, fantastic show.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a song going out to those people that you were just talking about, the hoarders of 7 6 packs of toilet paper and 80 gallons of hand sanitizer. It's a song that I feel serves as a reminder for these times about keeping true to yourself and not becoming some sort of egomaniacal monster. From England, Keep My Bones, this is If I Ever Stray.
Give me someone, for I have sinned, and I know not where I should begin. And some days it feels like you just can't win, no matter what you do or say. Things didn't kill me, but I don't feel stronger. Life is short, but it feels much longer. When you've lost the fight, yeah, you've lost that hunger to pull yourself through the day. But if ever I stray from the path I follow, take me down to the English Channel. Throw me in where the water is shallow, and then drag me out back to shore. 'Cause love is free and life is cheap, and as long as I've got me a place to sleep, some clothes on my back and some food to eat, then I can't ask for anything more. So come on everybody, sing a 1, 2, 3, 4. That we hold inside, yeah, the worst little things that you never confide, and the worst one of all that you just can't hide is that you're never quite as strong as you sound. So I'm sorry, baby, for the times I've hurt you. Sorry, friends, for the times I desert you. Most days it feels like I don't deserve you, and I wonder that you're all still around. So if ever I stray from the path I follow, take me down to the English Channel. If you've got my back, I'll go on.
The Mike Rogers Show, coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special, and I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgold, and you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese, and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show, yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
We'll be right back. of the world.
That was Poly 6 with Electric Surfing Go-Go. Poly 6 are still going strong after all these years, despite some lineup changes. Be sure to check out their most recent album, In the Sink, which was unleashed to the world back in October. Up next, we have Larkon Seal, who have been busy gearing up for their upcoming 30th anniversary. Here's a track from their 2005 Awake album. This is New World.
Shade
you ever leave this world alive? Well, thank you for the things you did in my life. If I ever leave this world alive, I'll come back down and sit beside your feet tonight. Wherever I am, you'll always be more than just a memory. If I ever leave this world alive, if I ever leave this world alive, I'll take on all the sadness that I left behind. If I ever leave this world alive, the madness that you feel will soon subside. So in a word, don't shed a tear, I'll be here when it all gets weird. If I ever leave this world alive, I'm okay.
Logging Molly with If I Ever Leave This World Alive from their 2001 album Drunken Lullabies. And that's certainly an anthem for these times, isn't it, Kristen?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yes, we're now going to be talking about, hopefully, the upcoming Anime Boston 2021 in this next half of this discussion. So my first question is, how much prep was finished for 2020 before the convention was pushed to next year?
Almost all of it, which has been both good and a little disappointing. We decided to keep the food theme for 2021. The artists had done so much work already, and we wanted to be able to have their art come through all the way. So that was our main reason for wanting to push it back. And then I know a lot of people got some themed cosplays that we definitely don't want to go to waste.
Right.
But I mean, as far as guests were booked. We had announced, I think, most of them. The exhibit hall was full. Artist Alley was full. We were getting ready to post all of those lists. We had made some pretty major programming changes for this year that we were all really excited about, that we still hadn't been able to announce a lot of it. So, fortunately, we were able to... We had ordered a lot of stuff in terms of like program guides and some merchandise, but fortunately we were able to stop a lot of orders mid sort of print, or cancel orders that hadn't really started on production yet, just because we needed to save the money, and right, we're going to wind up rebranding everything for next year.
So do you see any sort of tinkering to the con with, you know, what had been finished to give it an extra polish for 2021?
I don't know about tinkering, but definitely an extra polish. I mean, now we have an extra year to really get things right, and I think for a lot of the programming changes we were making, this just gives us that much more time to really refine our ideas and make sure we're on the right track.
I know you can't reveal who if any, thus far, but have any of the guests made any promises about Anime Boston 2021 that you had revealed?
Oh, I'm going to give a very vague yes and leave it at that.
So Greg Ayers.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
So now that you guys are pushing this to 2021, like, what are you going to be working on now for next year's convention?
Well, I know the team's working on a donation page right now. That's going to go up soon. It might even be up by the time this gets posted, but we want to make sure that we get our exhibitor list and our artist list out there so that people have a chance to go do some online shopping for these people and support them, because a lot of these vendors, they rely on conventions as their primary income. So it's not just our convention that's canceled. There's so many have canceled now, and a lot of these people are going to be struggling. So we really want people to be able to go and give them some business. We also do a charity auction every year for the MS Society, as well as our charity ball. So we want to make sure that they're still remembered, and so we're going to be posting their link on our website as well so that people can go donate there if they'd like. What about for next year? I think we had already announced at this point that we were making some changes to the location of the dealer hall, and that we were opening a new hall on the first floor with some experimental programming in there. So we're really looking forward to getting some really exciting things into that space, and that's going to be one of our main focuses in terms of just making sure that we really have that type of programming nice and polished and ready for everyone, because we're pretty excited about it.
Terrific. So when things start cooling down, you know, when the world basically cools down, are there any plans to maybe put like some sort of event together, or like a cosplay event or a screening event for 2020 to help promote Anime Boston 21, or maybe like be like a small alternative to what Anime Boston 2020 could have offered?
Right now, I'm not sure. We're all sort of, I think, taking the time right now to recover from just sort of the emotional roller coaster that the last couple of weeks have been. Once we are able to come back together, which I think we plan on doing in a few weeks, we want to check in and see how things are going with transferring memberships over to next year and all the refund requests and everything. And then we're going to talk about it. A lot of ideas have been tossed around, so I guess it's just kind of seeing if any of those ideas work for us, if we can actually have people who are available to do stuff, because you know, people is a pretty huge resource, and when you're a volunteer, sometimes it's hard to find the people. But I know the last couple of years we've done an event with the Museum of Science, so it would be really nice if we could do that again this year. So we'll see.
Yeah. So I guess my final question regarding the whole situation with Anime Boston 2020 and Anime Boston 2021 is, for those who wish to keep the spirit of Anime Boston alive this year, as well as possibly other anime conventions that have been canceled these past few weeks, like, what sort of recommendations would you give to these congoers or would-be congoers and the like?
Use social media. Rely on the internet. I've seen a lot of conventions and trade shows that have started to try and do sort of like digital versions of their shows. And it's a good reminder that technology can be our friend during these times. Keep working on your cosplay. Post your favorite pictures up on your favorite social media platform. I know, like, there's been a lot of people organizing, like, streaming parties so that they can watch things together. Just don't stop reaching out to each other. We do have a Discord as well, and our social medias. I know that the attendee Discord is, we've been sort of doing small amounts of invites right now, but keep an eye out for whenever we open that up again. But that's a great place to talk to each other. Facebook, Twitter. I'm very bad at social media myself, so I don't know all the names, but just if you're sitting at home on Anime Boston weekend feeling like you really want to do something to keep the spirit alive, I would still put on your cosplay, go and check out our exhibitor list, do a little shopping, video call your friends, see how they're doing, see what cosplays they're wearing, and and just don't stop. Don't give up.
And when are the dates for Anime Boston 2021?
That's an embarrassing question. Let's see. Anime Boston 2021 is going to be April 2nd through April 4th.
Okay. So listeners and those who love going to Anime Boston, who love going to anime conventions, put that on your calendar. And I promise you that Kristen and her entire crew will deliver a convention experience that was worth the... It would be 2-year wait by that time, wouldn't it?
Gosh. Yeah, maybe. I don't want to think about it.
Okay.
It's worth the wait.
Okay. All right. We've done the tough stuff. We're good. We're done. We don't have to worry about anything else right now. We're going to take a couple more music breaks, but when we come back, we're going to give some anime recommendations for people who are going to be, you know, stuck in the house and want to find things to do and want to find things to watch. So right now, we are going to play one of our favorite bands, Stance Punks, with a song that served as one of the better theme songs to the original Naruto. This is No Boy, No Cry.
Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube Phil's Recap and Review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Once upon a time, there was a bear. His name was Beer Bear. Beer Bear loves to drink beer. Hey, there seems to be something going on with his party-loving friends in the forest. Let's go take a look.
Beer Bear. Beer Bear. Brand new day, ビアベア森の中 Walking friends の元へ1時間半へっちゃらさ毎日見かけるあのフラワーとても綺麗だからついでにリバーのそば切り株で休憩だ12時ランチタイムビール飲みたいけどどっとこう今夜はソーパーティー朝までパーティーみんなでパーティーどんぐりひどい頑張るんだ何個拾えるかなぬるま100個焼酎かうるせえな足りないみたいうまい酒飲むため汗かくなんてだってサタデーナイ
また同じ夢見てんだ
明日は辛い
Beer Bear
だから飲んでる
Beer Bear
Yeah
やるでは
信じらんないけどその場しのぎ笑ってる
今日はどこまで行けるかなちょっと疲れたなまあ飲めよう
Yo 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 やっと集まったね気持ちいいね宴だ歌えそう見慣れたメンバー
テキラビットブラウニー、
イエーイ、
サキちゃん、田中、
一本ください。
ハイボーラー、焼酎、
飲んでるかい？
バカルビン、
飲む
もの知らん。BGM はオーケージャース、
オーケージャース。
この話何度も聞いた、あの話何度も言った。トイレ、何度も言った。金、何度も借りた。こん時だけは楽しいな。いつの間にかフラフラ。喉枯れるくらい騒いだもうそろそろ帰ろうか
また同じ夢見てんだ
Yeah, 何見てたの
いつの間にかお日様が
Beer Bear
今日も楽しい
Beer Bear
明日はつらい
Beer Bear
だから飲んでる
Beer Bear
時間
ビアベア
明日は早い
ビアベア
寝いていさ
ビアベア
これで最後
ビアベア
今日も楽しい
One of my favorite recent discoveries, that was Kelmico with Beer Bear from last year's Fishing album. Kelmico, of course, getting a lot of buzz for their opening theme contribution to the show, Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, which has become one of my favorite anime of the past year. Watch it. It is unbelievable. And big ups to Dark Horse Comics, who are licensing the original manga, so good on them. And now, for the ultimate master of uplifting rock,Andrew WK. He's finalizing his next album at the moment, so we're going to spin a track from his beautiful 2018 record, You're Not Alone. This is Keep On Going.
Far away from everyone, let them blow away in the dust, and trust that everything is somehow gonna be alright.Your darkest day, all your deafening screams, but you kept on going anyway. Can you remember your fears?
から drops the pearl 水面 ripple ooze が巻く world When whom cities 超ピリコクテリー乗っけたいチェリー Cream on top でも熱で溶けり体が touch 汗で滑り I'm ready It's very cold outside だけど暖かいこの vibes Slow なんだけど時間過ぎるの早い And I know timing for now not later on だから let's goThat you said you wanna
love you, babe. Give me your day, so I'm your guy. Baby, just me, day. Hey, no shakey, hugging you close to me forevermore. Me
What you say, but that ain't my ways, baby.
Away, babe. Oh. You can't let you down, boo. Away, babe. You know what it's cause I left you, babe. Give me dirty day. So, I'm a guy.
Please.
Baby, just me day. I ain't no shake guy. Hugging you close to me forevermore.
Fine. Speed of light, and then we run together.
Can this love ever see the jacket keep by the show?
Yeah, it's real if it's real to you.
He and I could turn on the night just for you.
2007's Cosmicolor, that was M-Flow featuring Chara with Love to Live By. They were supposed to be the musical guests of honor of Anime Boston 2020, and fingers are crossed that they will be on board for 2021. So right now, Kristen and I are going to toss out some suggestions for all of you that might be cooped up in your house because everything's closed and there's nothing really much fun to do outside of America right now. So...We each have three long anime recommendations that will help you bide your time until this whole thing blows over. And Kristen, why don't you go first with your first recommendation for anime to watch during this whole crisis, if you want to call it that.
I'm going to go with the obvious one, and it's got to be One Piece.
So why One Piece?
I saw the meme the other day that was saying, oh, what was it? If you watch like 33 episodes a day, then you should be able to catch up completely. And I was like, oh, I'm a couple of hundred episodes behind myself. I should work on that. One Piece is just a classic. It's been around for so long. It's like, it'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It'll make you shout and pump your arms in the air. And, It's the total package.
Not to mention there are tons of movies, OVAs, specials, and it's been going nonstop for almost 20 years. It's the last remaining big three that's still going. Naruto has finished, although, you know, there's Boruto. I was going to say Bleach is finished, but they are bringing that back. But One Piece is the only show that's been going nonstop for, you know, 20x years. Probably the only show besides that that's part of that whole genre of anime is Pokemon.
I mean, it's been around forever, and it will probably just continue to go forever. I don't know. I mean, all good things must end at some point, right?
Right. I know that the creator said that he's about 5 years away from the conclusion, but I think he said that before, almost 5 years ago, and I don't think it's gotten any closer to finding the One Piece.
Really, at the end of the day, isn't the One Piece, you know, it's not about the treasure, it's about the journey.
What if they find where the One Piece is supposed to be, that there all there is that letter is, oh, the real treasure is the journey.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I definitely thought about that as being what the One Piece, because nobody knows, it's still the greatest mystery.
Yeah,
in anime
there hasn't even been a hint of what it even looks like too.
It's just all we know is that it's a treasure.
Mm-hmm. So for my recommendation, my first one definitely does have to be Ranma One Half. And out of all of Rumiko Takahashi's works, I feel like this is like her best work. The story of Ranma Satomi and his weird curse where if he gets wet, he turns into a lady. So the episodes, they are chock filled with comedy, great character development, and some lovable possible wives-to-be for Ranma, because his dad's kind of a jerk and sold his son off to many, many possible suitors. I think about 10? What was that? You've watched Ranma, right?
I haven't, but I know about it. I know it exists.
Yes. Now, even though that we want our listeners to watch all these episodes, especially with the One Piece and Ranma One Half, I do have to say with Ranma One Half, I would just about skip any episode that places its focus on a character known as Hapose. He almost destroys the show if it weren't for a couple of actually good episodes surrounding him. There's like almost like, what, 40 episodes just about him, and it sucks. Wow. Skip it.
like the Tom Bombadil part of Lord of the Rings.
Probably. It's been a while since I've watched Lord of the Rings.
They left him out of the movie.
Oh, they left him out. Okay. Then that's why I don't know him.
Yep.
But it's like weird because like I think of Ranma One Half, and then I also think about the other big Rumiko Takahashi series, Inuyasha. And I like Ranma better than Inuyasha because if you look at Inuyasha, they're almost practically the same characters as they are in Ranma, just not worked out in the right way or the perfect way as Ranma did.
One of them's not a dog.
Yeah, one of them is not a dog. So what about your next recommendation for anime?
My next recommendation, I just finished the first season of this, and I plan on watching the rest of it, and it's got to be Food Wars.
Food Wars is a great show. Makes you hungry, though.
Oh, yeah, but everyone's stuck inside at this time, and it gives you so many like fun recipe ideas and cooking tips, and so I think it's something that you could definitely help to brighten up your stay-at-home blues.
Have you ever attempted any of the recipes on the show yet?
I haven't. I'm not much of a cook, but my husband is a real good cook, and I've definitely been asking him if he'll try some of these recipes. So I'm super excited to watch the rest of it. It's a show that's just, it's simultaneously ridiculous, but also aware that it's ridiculous, and I just love that kind of, it toes the line, and I just, It tickles me to no end.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. I will say, though, that just as a warning, because you haven't gotten there yet, season 3, the animation kind of takes a little bit of a nosedive in quality, but it goes right back up for season 4.
Oh, no. All right. I won't let that ruin my experience watching it.
All right. So for my second recommendation, and this is probably one of my all-time favorite shows, and it's especially for people who enjoyed another anime that aired this past year, Welcome to Demon School Iruma-kun, and that show is called Hayate the Combat Butler, where good boy Hayate is sold by his parents to the mafia and is rescued by a young girl whom he starts working as her assistant. The show is super funny, and it has a lot of great references and homages to classic anime, as well as some very interesting cameos from certain characters from other shows. Although, like, they can't be the actual character, but they're more like a knockoff of the character they're making fun of, but it's played by the actual voice actor or actress from the show that they are making fun of.
Oh, well, that sounds very fun.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of interesting. It is somewhat, like Ranma, it is somewhat of a harem show, as all the girls sort of fall in love with Hayate, but Hayate is either ignoring their fawnings over, or he's just really dense when it comes to romance. So, season 3 does an entire original story, but it's surprisingly well-rounded, and even takes its opening episode cue from the film The Hangover, of all things. Like, if you watch the opening of the third season of Hayate and watch the opening of The Hangover, it's almost the same thing. It even takes place in Vegas, if that sounds crazy enough.
Wow, okay.
Hayate, highly recommended, is over 100 episodes and a really good movie, too. So, what would be your final recommendation, Kristen?
My final recommendation, which I think didn't... I can't remember if I had enough episodes or not, but Revolutionary Girl Utena. And I'd toss the movie in there for good measure as well. If you're looking to marathon something and you just want to go down the rabbit hole of, like, what the fuck? Like, that's the show to do it.
Well, that's a lot of Kunihiro Ikahara's stuff. If you've ever watched Yarikuma Arashi and even last year, Sara Zanmai, he's kind of like the king of wacky fucked upness. But what's neat about him is that there's meaning behind the fucked upness.
There's just, especially with Utena, there's just so many layers and, like, symbolism, and you can really get deep into it if you let yourself.
What I find interesting too about the movie version is that a lot of the elements of the film were unused ideas that Ikuhara had for Sailor Moon Super S, because he actually wanted to do a movie that was just about Uranus and Neptune, and some of the elements of that idea were put into the Utena movie.
I did not know that, but I am blown away by that. That, really?
Yeah, granted, I don't think Uranus transforms into a car, but I'm sure there's a lot of elements in Utena and the movie that you can even look back at and see, okay, I can see where this could have fit into the Sailor Moon realm.
Oh, well, as a very large Uranus and Neptune fangirl, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch then.
Yeah, you definitely should. And I guess for my final recommendation, and it's honestly one of the best sports anime I've ever seen, and that is Haikyuu. And what I love about Haikyuu is that it captures this sort of realism that you don't really see in not just sports anime, but like sports TV shows and the like. Like, teams win and teams lose. Will you ever watch like something like, I don't know, like Ice Show 21 or even like Friday Night Lights? Majority of the show is, oh, the team keeps on winning. It's winning and they're winning and they're winning. But here in Haikyuu, there are a lot of wins and there also are a lot of losses, because I feel like it teaches the viewer about the importance of, you know, the losing aspect of playing sports, because it's hard to get through a loss. It's hard to get over a loss, but you have to soldier through it, and Haikyuu does a great job with doing that.
I like that. That sounds really nice.
Yes. And right now, it's currently going through its fourth season. The first half of the fourth season is airing right now, and the second half, I think, is going to be airing in the summer. But all in all, like, Haikyuu is definitely one of the best anime out there, and in my opinion, the best sports anime to watch. Do you have any other, like, post recommendations you'd like to share with our listeners?
Post recommendations?
Yeah, like a little, yeah, just throw these in here. Also, what the hell? Let's fill up your queue.
Oh, I'm looking at rewatching Kobayashi Dragon Maid.
Yep.
That one's super cute. I like it. Mm-hmm. You should watch it.
Yes, definitely one of the best shows that came out this past decade.
And I heard there's a season 2 coming, so I'm even more excited.
I will toss in Non Non Biori, because I think that's a great, relaxing show about four kids growing up in the countryside. Very cute show, and also very funny.
I like that suggestion. That's a good one.
I think we have enough, because there's at least 1,000 episodes of One Piece, so...
Okay. Cool.
All right, we're going to wrap things up very shortly, but first we're going to play a couple of more songs. Up next, we have The Pillows, who served as the musical guest for Anime Boston in 2008. And I think that was the first act to fill the entirety of the main hall. From 2004's Good Dreams, this is Walking on the Spot.
Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal.
<That's>...
Windows backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart, cut the cord. Are we human, or are we dancer? My sign is vital, my hands are cold, and I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human, or are we dancer?
That was The Killers with Human. And you and I saw The Killers back in 2006. We didn't go together. It was like one of those weird coincidences where I was going with my cousin. You were going with, I think, our friend Teresa. And we saw him play ever at the Orpheum Theater, which was probably the last time we ever will get a chance to see him in such a small locale like that.
So, fun fact. I went with a couple friends, including our mutual friend Teresa, and that was actually the first time I had ever heard The Killers. I didn't really know who they were, and we were there to see one of the opening bands that we really enjoyed, and I am still obsessed with The Killers to this day.
Very cool. And, you know, we've also had opportunities to see, not so funny story, because we had gone tickets to see Brandon Flowers, but the job you had at your time kept you over, and you missed, like, almost the majority of the concert.
I know. I remember that. I think I showed up for like the last like four songs and I was so upset because I just love Brandon Flowers, but it was still nice that I got to be there for some of it.
Yes. But Kristen, thank you for joining me here on this episode of No Borders, No Race. And again, for our listeners, where can they find more information on Anime Boston 2021?
The best place to be is animeboston.com. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at some point we'll be able to get more people on the Discord. And yeah, those are the best places to find us.
Terrific. And for my listeners, as always, visit b3crew.com for recent news and reviews and podcast episodes. Follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BossOfAshBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfAsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap Review, and Smashbrook. And a very special thank you to the Seattle band Hollows for last week's contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. And on today's episode, we're going to cool things down for the final track via the late, great Nujabes. I was listening to his 2004 album, Mortal Soul, the other day, which is such a perfect lo-fi hip-hop album and a great way to end an uplifting playlist. This song is called Reflection Eternal. And until next time, this is your King Baby Doc Evan Borgo.
Should I say it?
Yes.
This is Nenya. Wait, what should I say? This is Kristen Lighting, also known as Nenya.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.